Welcome back to the Saturday show here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. Hour two of the program underway right now. Michelle, are you like me when that bump back comes on, you immediately think of Black Panther?
Like, yes and no, because I've never seen Black Panther, but I know that it's...
I forget this. You don't watch any Marvel movies.
I don't watch movies. Yeah. But I do know it's Kendrick Lamar, and I really like Kendrick Lamar. So that's always a win in my book.
Okay, Michelle, simply for the soundtrack alone, because I know you would like it, you need to see Black Panther, because Kendrick Lamar was like the executive producer of the soundtrack for that movie, and he did an incredible job scoring it, I thought.
I've heard several of the songs off of it. Yeah, I think it's really good. Black Panther is actually one that I have wanted to see. I just haven't gone around to it because, you know, I just don't think to do that in my spare time.
Oh, Michelle, you are one of a kind. I got to give you that. I love it, though. Your dedication to not watching movies is awesome.
You know, so someone has to do it. If I have to be the one to do it, I will be the one to do it or not do it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we started out today's show talking about the Combine. The nine guys from BYU and Utah, they're headed to Indianapolis, a guy that I think, frankly, got snubbed, Michelle. I think you've seen enough of Eddie Heckard to see that he has got the talent that I thought would get him an invite to Indianapolis. And before we play this interview, here's the thing about it is I talked with him. This goes back when he arrived at BYU after transferring from Weber State. I talked with him last spring. I had a one-on-one with him, and I talked with him, and I said, hey, he had originally entered the NFL draft last year and then decided to pull his name out of that and go into the transfer portal, ultimately landing at BYU. And I said, okay, why did you decide to pull your name out of the draft? He said he talked with NFL people, and they wanted him to go prove himself. They said, you've done everything you can do at the FCS level. We want to see you prove yourself at a higher level. And do it at the Big 12 / just FBS level. So he transfers to BYU and frankly may have been BYU's best defender last season. And the fact that he got snubbed on a combine invite, and he tweeted as much. He said, what do I got to do to get catch a break here?
You know, it's so hard because I think there's a lot of talented guys. And again, we are still sifting through the backup from the COVID year. I think this year and next year is kind of going to be the last of that. So, you know, I think deserving guys maybe sometimes fall under the radar. And unfortunately, I think Heckard is maybe one of those guys. But, you know, the good news is all hope's not lost. You go and ball out at Pro Day and put on a show, and people are going to be knocking on your door. So it sounds like he has the right mindset. I get it's disappointing to not get that combine invite because it's just such an iconic big part of the process and everybody wants to be involved with that. But there's ways around that. And at the end of the day, all that matters is that you get in and that you have the opportunity to show what you got at the next level.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll see how it all goes for him in the process. But he joined DJ and PK. This goes back, I think, it was on February 15th, so just over a week ago, to talk about the snub and just talk about his season overall. Here's that conversation with David James and Patrick Kinahan.
You caught our attention on social media. You had a post where you were talking about you were advised, you know, okay, you're good at the Big Sky level. Now go do it at the Power 5 level and show us you can do it. And you have your five picks and your three forced fumbles and you have a good year and you didn't get invited to the combine. You added the laughing crying emoji. Are you actually feeling upbeat about your NFL future despite the fact they passed you over? Does that sting a little bit? Is it a combination of both?
Well, I think I'm gonna still do what I'm gonna do in the NFL. I think whenever I get the shot, I'm gonna take full advantage. But just based off like what I was hearing last year on why I didn't have a combine invite or an All Star like the Hula Bowl, the East West Shrine, and the Senior Bowl, the reason was because of the level I was playing, like they wanted to see me at the higher level with one more year to go. So I did that, and I feel like I had a better season. So for me to not get any invite just didn't make sense to me. But I mean, I'm not mad about it or nothing. I was just confused and thought that was funny.
So how much motivation does it provide for you then, Eddie?
Honestly, it's not too much more motivation because I'm motivated already. Like, rather I get drafted or not, I know why I'm doing it. I have my why. I don't know. Yeah, it's not, that doesn't motivate me at all because at the end of the day, when I'm in the NFL, I'm not going to be thinking about who didn't pick, like, why I didn't go to the All-Star game or whatever. So, yeah.
How big a difference was it moving from the Big Sky to the Big 12?
For me, it wasn't that big of a difference. I mean, the linemen were better and bigger and week in and week out. But that's not nothing I have to deal with. I would say the skilled players, like, I mean, as a whole, there are better skilled player groups and wide receiver rooms. But in the Big Sky, we have, like, a receiver that's just as good as the rest of these, like, just as good as these people in those rooms as well. So I didn't think it was too big of a jump.
When you're working out now, preparing, I assume, for when the pro day comes next month at BYU, and you have your opportunity then to get in front of scouts. So as far as working out, do you work out on specific things, and what exactly do you need to do during your workouts to put yourself in position for that pro day opportunity?
Well, talking with my agent, coaches, and people that the scouts have been talking to, they want to see that I could change direction good, and they want to see me run fast. So that's been my two main focuses, because as long as I'm in the low 4 or 5 range, and if I run any type of 4.4, I think I'm like on their radar to be able to get drafted. But that's just what I think and what I've been hearing. So, in the workouts, we're working on explosion, top end speed. We do change of direction twice a week. We work on everything that we're going to be doing, but we put more emphasis into those two things.
You talk about the quality of player at the Big Sky versus the Big 12, and obviously Rashid Shaheed has gone from Weber State to the NFL and has put up some pretty good numbers for the Saints. How much have you gotten advice from him on how to proceed here and what how your abilities match up with the NFL?
I talked to him recently. When he first got in the league, he was like, yeah, bro, like, you're going to be good in the league. Like, these corners aren't as good. It's all about where they came from and stuff, but once you show you can play, you're going to beat them out, type of thing. And he just keeps giving me the advice, like, just to be patient and stay humble, because a lot of people and to keep working, because a lot of people that they just come and go because they get big headed once they get there, when you still have to keep working.
That's sort of been the story of your life, though, is maybe have to keep working and people doubting you, right? I mean, this is really not anything new for you.
Right. It's definitely – it's the story over and over again since high school. And, I mean, you know, coming from – I guess the first time I felt like I had a lot of people, like, I had a lot of buzz – was when I entered the transfer portal and I had over 30 offers from all these schools. But I think it just it was just something I needed to post just to get off my chest. I just didn't understand it. That's it.
When Jay Hill brought you in to BYU, obviously you had the relationship with him, and so you pick him over all the schools in the transfer portal. Was there the expectation that you were did he talk to you about starting right away? Was it you had to win the job? How much doubt was there with a guy who had seen you play and been around you every day?
So it wasn't I didn't just get the starting job, but realistically, like, I knew I was going to start because he wouldn't have put me in that position if he, like, he knew what type of player I was or what situation I was coming into because he was there, he's seeing it. So he knew, like, I was going to start as long as I've been, did the same thing. But with Coach Hill, like, I just knew he would put me in the best position. I didn't have to really think about, like, too much of the room and the cornerback room and everything, just because he wouldn't have recruited me if it wasn't good for my future and good for me.
You're not listed as 6 feet. Do you think height is an issue?
I mean, to them, to scouts, yes, but to me, no.
Right. How do you compensate then for not being as tall as some other guys?
I mean, technique. I feel like I'm – like, I my skill set is so much different than everybody. And, like, what I'm able to do, how I'm able to change direction. And, you know, like, not once in my college career has somebody just – caught the ball because they was too tall.
Right.
Like, I've never had that once. So I don't think the height is an issue. And I've played against the tallest players, but I really just think technique trumps all of that. Like, trumps speed, trumps height, whatever you want to bring into it that we can't control. But yeah, I think that's what I have better, and I'm good with my technique on more plays than almost a lot of every corner in college, and even in the NFL, a lot of corners just get lazy on plays, and that's when you give up the big one. But I think the discipline Coach Hill and the cornerback coaches I've had instilled in me, like, to consistently do things right, and it just became a habit to always play with that technique. And you get beat some plays and maybe not have good technique on some plays, but you just get right back to it the next play. I think I did a great job of that.
We've had a lot of players who played their college ball at one of the schools here in Utah go to the NFL. When they come back on and they talk about it, they always say, man, in the NFL, it's only a 53-player roster. You got to be great on special teams. How many special teams can you play on?
I could play on every special teams, and, I mean, I wanted to last year just to show my special teams value, but at BYU, you could, like, the starters can only start on two special teams, so I couldn't get on all of them, but I think I did. I mean, the special teams I was on, I dominated, and I did everything I was supposed to do on them. But I'm already practicing for special teams when I do drill work. I know that's a big part of the NFL. And I know I could play every one of them, and I'm strong enough to play a lot of different positions on different special teams. So I think that's my edge over a lot of my positions. I don't think, like, they're going to be in position to play certain roles on special teams.
You were with the DBs every day in practice for BYU. You're leaving and going and having the opportunity to play in the NFL. Tell us about what's left behind as far as what would you say to the fans, or would say, hey, how is our defensive backfield going to be in the 24 season?
I think it's going to be better. Of course, me and Cam is leaving, but
right.
I would say it's going to be better just because all of those guys are now more comfortable with the defense. They know it. They're not learning it. They understand Coach Hill and what he wants out of them. They seen like two seniors and Jacob do it good, so do it at a high level. So now they have something to chase and to follow, and I know they're hungry, especially seeing like Puka and Niza, the other players that they've seen go to the league and dominate and play. They know they could do it because they were just practicing with these guys. And hopefully me and Cam go to the league and does the same thing, and that motivates them.
Cougar fans probably have their favorite Eddie Heckard play from the past year. I think there's two clear contenders for the top play, but hey, maybe I'm wrong. What was your favorite play, your favorite highlight from the season?
My favorite play was, I got to the strip sack in the Arkansas game and the pick six in the Oklahoma State game.
I thought those were the two, but I didn't know which one you would pick higher. And I didn't know if I was missing one along the way, but those two jumped out at me. The strip sack pretty much locked up the win at Arkansas, and you went nuts. That was a big play. That was good to see.
Yeah. So those two plays were definitely my favorite. And yeah, those are my favorite.
Well, Eddie, we appreciate the time. Good luck in the pursuing the NFL dream, and we'll be following you and track how you do. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
There you go, Eddie Heckard. And Michelle, I think you can kind of hear in his voice, he's like, you know what? They may not want me at the combine, but I'm going to go prove people wrong.
And you know what? That's just ultimately the attitude that a lot of guys have to take.
Yep.
There just unfortunately isn't room for everyone. And I think, again, as I kind of mentioned before, there's people that maybe get left out for people that maybe shouldn't have gone, you know, the combine invite. It's a tough thing to kind of try and judge. But the good news is a lot of opportunities are given to try and catch everyone and make sure no stone is left unturned.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about it is they invite more than there are draft slots to the combine, but there are always guys who do not make the combine that get drafted. So we'll see how it goes for Eddie, but I really like his mentality. He's like, you know what, we're just going to go prove him wrong, and that'll be fun to see as it all kind of pans out here where he ultimately lands. And I would assume the way that Eddie plays, Michelle, I think he's got a spot in the NFL. Just the way he is produced at multiple levels, I think he's got that capability.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just about putting in the work and showcasing what you got. And if you got it, you're not going to be ignored. You're just not. Yeah. And I do think Eddie has it. So he'll be fine. It's disappointing, but he'll be fine.
Yep, he will find a way. There's no doubt about that. All right, coming up next, we will talk about some of the other topics we have not had a chance to touch on quite yet. We call it 5 minutes of. That's all coming up right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Christian, this is an incredible bump back. I always enjoy this one.
I had a big, big, big Daft Punk era in like middle school, out of nowhere,
okay.
Out of nowhere. So I was looking through all the bed music and I saw this song. I was like, oh, yeah, let's go.
It's a good one. Like, it's one of those ones that always makes you feel good, I feel like. And that Daft Punk, they had quite a run there, no doubt. Like, and it's kind of crazy how fast it came and went, but they're still around in some form or fashion.
I don't know a whole lot about Daft Punk. I've heard
Michelle.
Of them. That just wasn't really what I was listening to.
Yeah,
and it's okay. So funny because it's like It's totally not related to any of the other music that I listen to. But for some reason, like I said, in middle school, I was just like, these guys are pioneers. These guys are awesome.
Well, they, but here's the thing. I can understand where you're coming from, yeah. Christian, because I remember when they first came on the scene, they were literally everywhere. Like, you could not escape them. So I get that. But good stuff with Daft Punk coming back there. All right, Michelle, we lost a legend yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. Do you know the name Golden Richards by chance?
That is not a name I am terribly familiar with.
Now, Golden Richards was a former BYU football player, but he passed away. And this is a guy who had quite a career. He ended up going and playing for the Dallas Cowboys. He had time at BYU before transferring to Hawaii. I don't remember what the story was there, but he ended up finishing his career with the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Went on to have a great career, all things considered, in the NFL, most notably with the Dallas Cowboys. He got a TD pass in the 1978 Super Bowl. He passed away yesterday at the age of 73. According to his family, it was due to congestive heart failure. For BYU fans of a certain age, that would be kind of my grandpa, maybe early on in my dad's life. Golden Richards is an absolute legend because he was an incredible, incredible player.
Yeah, I just looked him up. I did not realize the local connection. I'm not as familiar with BYU history that far back. That's really cool, though. I mean, too bad that he's passed away, but looks like he's had a pretty outstanding career and impact in the sports world. And Of course, you know, but it's always sad to see some of those local connections go.
Yeah, he was a Granite High grad, All-State honors in three sports before signing to play football for BYU. He wore number 22 because of his boyhood hero, which was former Cowboys receiver Bob Hayes, that ended up playing for the Cowboys for six seasons. Caught that touchdown pass in that Super Bowl win in 1978. So incredible, incredible stuff. But sad to lose legends like that. But it sounds like he had been in declining health. I'm reading this from the Deseret News. Dick Harmon, who obviously was a compatriot of his and kind of covered him, said that he had fallen and broken his hip in 2022. Oof. And had four surgeries since that time that contributed. Oh, geez, that's no fun.
Yeah, that you know, sadly, that's usually kind of the beginning of the end, though. When you reach a certain age, falls are not good.
No doubt about that. All right, so yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Richards family at this time. Losing a guy like that is one of those things, and you just kind of, you're like, oh, local connection there. Let's talk about that for a minute here. All right, Michelle, it's a couple other topics I wanted to hit on today's show. Did you see how much the NFL salary cap is going up?
I saw someone make a joke, thanks, Taylor Swift.
Well,
for the increase in cash.
And they did say that 2024, an unprecedented amount of media rights money came in. They're raising the salary cap $30.6 million per team to a record $255.4 million per franchise.
That is absurd. And I so picked the wrong career. What am I doing?
Well, you and me both. That's the thing about this, Michelle. You look at it and you're like, holy cow, like that's a lot of – but the thing is, the NFL is king, and the salary cap, it has more than doubled in the last 13 years, Michelle. It was 100 like 114 million like in 2011 or something like that, and in 2024 it's going to be $255.4 million. Let's just put it this way. Going to mean some guys are going to, when they go into contract negotiations, are going to be thinking, "Hey, I know you got extra money to play around with. Where's that increase for me?"
Well, the thing that instantly kind of popped in my head, because there was a lot of talk about, does Tyler Huntley remain with the Baltimore Ravens because they're hitting that salary cap? Does that open things up to keep him? I don't know. That's fascinating. Opens up a lot of possibilities, I think, for a lot of different franchises that were maybe facing having to make some hard choices.
Well, and see, here's the thing. So I'm just reading this. So it was current. It was estimated, Michelle. They were using cap projections because they always look ahead and look at, like, okay, media rights revenue, looking like they're projecting ahead. The projections had this sitting between $240 and $245 million. Yeah, it's $10 million beyond the highest of their projections. And it is going to help out three teams in particular, because the 49ers, the Packers, and the Seahawks were all projected to be over the cap as of Friday when those projections were sitting in that $240 to $245 million range. And because of being that record $255 million, all three of those teams are now under the cap and in theory can go out and essentially re-sign the guys they want to re-sign now.
The Bills are another team. I think the Bills were kind of
They were closing in on it. Yeah,
that's just oh my gosh, that is so fascinating that that money just kind of appeared from nowhere.
It's nuts. So yeah, the NFL said one of the reasons for the sharp increase was an extraordinary increase in media revenue, and that's where exactly I think people are pointing to. Thank you, Taylor Swift. That's exactly where that comes from, Michelle.
Well, you know what? Like, let's give the girl, no, let's give the young woman her credit. Like, she is a cash cow,
yes.
And the NFL maybe benefited from that just a wee bit.
Oh, no, not a wee bit. They benefited significantly. There's no if, and, or but about the fact that they benefited from this in a big way. And we'll see. It's going to be interesting because that's a massive increase in money, and all of a sudden you're kind of seeing, like, I'm sure NFL teams are now reevaluating, okay, who can we pay? What can we go out there and get? I'm just thinking, I'm a 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk's been a guy that they've been talking about could potentially be traded because they thought he might be a cap casualty. Well, guess what? Now they got an extra at least $10 million to work with in theory because of the projections. And the 49ers are going to be thinking, hey, you may have just saved our bacon. We can keep another key piece in the stable if it works out.
Totally, totally. And again, a lot of teams that were in that position.
Oh, yeah.
That now are maybe rethinking the strategy because they do have extra
Correct.
Money to work with and to keep guys on and still pay others, you know, what they're worth at the moment. How do I get a piece of that?
I'll take 1%. How about that?
Right? Okay. You won't even miss it.
I will take $2.54 million. That's 1% of that cap, and I will be off and happy for the rest of my life. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know.
Yeah, crazy times. It's just an insane amount of money. All right, Michelle, also on the college football front, a federal judge in Tennessee granted a preliminary injunction Friday afternoon that prohibits the NCAA from punishing any athletes or boosters for negotiating name, image, and likeness deals during their recruiting process or while they are in the transfer portal. AKA, Michelle, it is now legal to go out there and sign guys. Recruiting inducements are completely legal under this new ruling from this court.
I mean, no one should be surprised by this. Like, the writing was on the wall. You know, the NCAA wasn't even really enforcing that anyway. So, the next steps are going to be fascinating. You know, is there a new ruling party that comes to play? And what does that look like? And then what do the rules end up being? Will there be any rules? College football is in such an absurd state right now, just from top to bottom. And it just feels like there's no end in sight. Hopefully some things get reined in because otherwise it just isn't very sustainable all the way around the way that it is. But I don't think anybody should be surprised that basically the NCAA lost another arm in their battle to try and maintain power. It's one of those things. I feel like if you want to be taken seriously, then you need to be serious. And I just don't think the NCAA has done that for years.
Well, and see, I'm with you on that. And it's just kind of a sad state of affairs for them to be in, because you look at it and say, man, this could be a really, really nice setup if things were working out the way that they in theory should, but it's all kind of gone by the wayside. And, oh, by the way, just kind of an aside to this, Michelle, you saw that they've officially approved the 5+7 model for the 2 years of the college football playoff remaining, so they're going to be the 12-team model. But before we've even gotten to the season starting, Michelle, they're already talking about, oh, in 2026 we may go to 14 or maybe even 16 teams.
I don't necessarily hate that idea, but I do think, you know, it's kind of funny that there was so much resistance to the idea of expanding the playoff in the first place, and we haven't actually even experienced that yet, and people are already talking about ways to expand it even more. Hysterical to me. But, you know, let's see how this plays out as it is. I know that there's a lot of concern and worry about, you know, at some point the Big 12 and the ACC, however that might look, get cut out from the playoff situation in the coming years. Hard to say. It feels like it's kind of trending in that direction. But I don't know. I've seen this take so many weird twists and turns. I don't know what to expect here, but very ironic that, again, people were dragging their feet on the idea of expanding the playoff, and now we're already talking about expanding it again without even experiencing that.
You mean there's money to be made? Oh, yeah, let's go get more of that.
Like, yeah.
You're right. They were so resistant for so long. Well, it's going to dilute the sport. No, it's not. And then as soon as you can finally get some hard and fast numbers in front of them about the how much money is to be made, well, okay, let's do it. Well, why don't we add more teams to that? Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It is so funny. You're right. You kind of point out that the college football has kind of become a farce of itself.
It is.
It's created its own problems. That's the thing about it. The sport itself made its own bed. Now they got to lie in it.
The classic self-inflicted wounds.
Oh, no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about that. Oh, geez. Yeah, I look at it. I'm like, you know what? It could be so great, but it's got so many things wrong with it. And you're right. There's an unsustainable nature to it all. The balloon's going to pop at some point, and it ain't going to be pretty when it does.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest concern, right? Is what does this look like when it all finally kind of falls apart? And will it be salvageable, fixable once it does? Just a fascinating, fascinating thing to sit back and kind of watch evolve. While also wanting to pull my hair out, because I feel like you're creating so much extra work for all the rest of us.
Oh. Jeez, no doubt. And the thing is, like it's like, okay, we can be smart about this. No, we can't.
No. And also, another irony here, we could be smart about this, and we're talking about universities where people are supposed to go and get smarter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And are supposed to house some of the most intelligent beings.
Yeah,
in the world, is what college football looks like. Okay.
You saw Nick Saban said earlier this week, right?
No. Oh, he said something? I bet that was good.
He said the whole term student-athlete might be the stupidest phrase that's ever been invented. He's like, these are not student-athletes. They're athletes who happen to be going to a school, essentially.
Anymore, yes. There was maybe one point in time that was true, but it hasn't been true probably in 20 years.
No, it's just – and it's unfortunate because it's supposed to be like a more of a higher ideal. And like, it's supposed to be, but it doesn't exist, and that's sad. But
yeah.
Alas, it is what it is. All right, we will come back on the other side. We'll put the finishing touches on this edition of the Saturday Show coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports. I'm Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch, wrapping things up on this Saturday edition of the show. All right, Michelle, did you have a chance to watch Messi wow everybody in RSL season opener Wednesday night by chance?
I did not. What? I swear I had something I needed to do Wednesday. But I saw it on the Twitter line.
Okay. Yes, you did. And trust me, it took off like wildfire. I am interested to see how Messi does this for an entire season of Major League Soccer. Obviously, he joined last year, joined the league last year. But we'll see how Inter Miami does with him at the helm. RSL had their chances in that match, and RSL's back in action tonight. They're in St. Louis to take on St. Louis City SC. That'll be a 5:30 pregame here on the KSL Sports Zone. 6:30 a start. David James, Jay Nulli on the call of that. Looking forward to it. But it's incredible the pull that one guy can have on the sport. Like, for crying out loud, nothing against the guys from the RSL show, because I was jealous they got to go. But we flew people down to Miami for this match.
I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever do it, you know? Yes. I mean, he's right up there with David Beckham. If you want to go, like, super,
who is
super...
now the owner of the team he plays for.
Right, right. If you want to go, like, way super back, Pele, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So it's just, you know, there's just guys that are absolute dudes in the sport, and I think Messi is one of those guys that you can just place his name with some of the all-time greats, and he fits there. So it's not shocking to me that he kind of single-handedly took over the entire thing, and it was his show from start to finish. But, you know, it's too bad that a team like RSL had their chances and didn't necessarily capitalize on them. But it is early in the season, and it's potentially a great learning opportunity, and we'll see where they kind of carry that for themselves moving forward.
Well, and we had Jason Kreis, who is now he's the club director, I think is his title is, for the Real Salt Lake, on with DJ and PK yesterday. And he talked about your very point you made right there, Michelle. It's early on in the season, but he felt like RSL's players may have been a little bit too much in awe of playing against Messi and Luis Suarez and Sergio Busquets. Like the guys, like the Barcelona buddies of Messi, they're now playing with him there in Miami. He felt like they may have gotten a little too caught up in, like, the holy smokes, you're going up against these guys. But he said that he was happy because the second half of the match, the first half was awful. And I know Christian was with us. He was producing for us on Wednesday night. The first half was just absolutely awful. But the second half, RSL took it right to Miami and had multiple opportunities, as you mentioned. But I think you make a very good point there. And it's something that Jason Kreis, I think, knows too. Yeah, they were probably a little bit like, holy cow, I'm playing against Messi. Oh, wow. But you still need to go play the game.
Yeah. And so hopefully, you know, that's, again, something that they kind of take with them and learn. And maybe, you know, if there's a next time, if it lines up that they face each other again, they're just a little more prepared for the moment.
Yeah, we'll see. So once again, they're back in action tonight. St. Louis City, who had an incredible debut season, all things considered, last year, is their opponent tonight. Home opener a week from today, and this time next week, we'll be getting ready for that home opener to kick off. It's a noon start against LAFC over there at America First Field, and we're looking forward to it. So soccer season is here, Michelle, even though it's February.
I mean, it's a long-running sport, kind of like baseball and basketball.
It is. Except only longer.
Only longer, yeah. The off-season's very, very short for soccer. So while it's like a shock to the system, it's also like, I mean, we know this. We know that it starts early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any final thoughts for you before we wrap things up here, Michelle?
You know, just make sure you check out all the local basketball teams, including the Utah women. They have a big game on Sunday against USC. So they need a bounce back.
Juju Watkins,
man. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they do, because they did not fare so well against UCLA, and USC is another team of a similar caliber. And as you mentioned, Juju Watkins is phenomenal, but they kind of need a bounce back. So we'll see how they wrap up their LA trip. We'll see how the Utah men do on the road against Colorado, and of course BYU as well.
Yeah, the only thing I've got for the Utah women: avoid turnovers. That was a big thing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. 20 or 21 turnovers. Jeez. Way too many. Way too many.
All right. Well, we will check it all out. But we got plenty of coverage to come in the week ahead. Obviously, back next week with the Saturday show, it'll be a shortened edition, just an hour long, leading up to RSL pre-match coverage right here on the KSL Sports Zone. But until then, hope you have a great rest of your day. For Michelle and Christian, I'm Jake. This has been the Saturday show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.